So, text 27, page 44. Ata veno ninadosya trai murti mayigati spuranti pravivesasu mukabjani swayam buvaha gayatrim gayatashtasmad arigatya saroja jaha samskritashchari guruna dvijatam agamattata. Translation. Then Gayatri, mother of the Vedas, being made manifest, that is, imparted, by the divine sound of the flute of Sri Krishna, entered into the lotus mouth of Brahma, born from himself, through his 8 ear holes. The lotus-born Brahma, having received the Gayatri, sprung from the flute song of Sri Krishna, attained the status of the twice-born, having been initiated by the supreme primal preceptor, Godhead himself. So a second translation of that. Thereafter, the Gayatri of threefold form, Trai Murti Maya, that is the form of Omkara, A, U, and M, that's what, I think I'll read the whole, emanated as the beautiful song of Krishna's flute. Entering the ears of Lord Brahma, it quickly manifested within his mouth. Thus Lord Brahma, who was born on the lotus flower, received Gayatri as it emanated from the divine flute song of Krishna. So, Lord Brahma was initiated by the Supreme Lord, the Adi Guru, original Guru, and elevated to the status of twice born. So in the Sanskrit verse, there are different terms, and we'll just kind of review the translation in the book and those terms to kind of further clarify our understanding of this verse. It says, then Gayatri, mother of the Vedas, so that's why, that's Trai Murti Maya. And that also means this Trai Murti Maya, Trai means three, and Murti means forms. So the mother of the three Vedas, so the three Vedas is basically, it refers to, as Jiva Goswami says, it refers to Omkara, because when he heard Krishna's flute, he also heard the sound of Om. And with that sound of Om, he heard the Brahma Gayatri. Brahma Gayatri is called, named after Brahma. So at first he heard Om, Bhur Bhuvakswa, like that. And then he heard Kam Gayatri, the flute, as he heard the flute. But that paved the way, so these came together. So that's why it says, then Gayatri, the mother of the Vedas, being made manifested. So that's the Brahma Gayatri, Om Bhur Bhuva. So, and manifest means spurti, right? Spuranti. Spuranti means manifest. And then the primal preceptor, Godhead himself, that's the Adi Guru. So the Adi Guru is Krishna himself. Purport. The sound of Krishna's flute, it's a transcendental, blissful sound. See, so here again, it's Venu. So many Venus are there, right? Venu. But sometimes, as I mentioned the other day, that when we're just talking categorically about the flute, they often say Venu. So it may not be specifically referring, when the term is used, Venu, or Venam Quanantam Aravindam Dalayataksham. It may not be specifically referring to a 6-inch flute. I mean, Venu is a specific type of flute with a configuration of holes and a certain type of sound. And Vamshi is another specific type of flute. And Murali is another specific type of flute of a certain length and a certain configuration of holes and a certain sound and effect and used for different purposes. But in the Sanskrit, sometimes they use interchangeably. They're just meaning flute and they say Venu or Vamshi or like that. So the sound of Krishna's flute is a transcendental blissful sound. Hence, the archetype of all Veda is present in it. another way to say that. The divine vibration of Krishna's flute is a sound of truth, cognizance, and ecstasy. Satchitanandamaya. In other words, everything's there, right? Satchitananda. It is the transcendental blissful sound. It is the sound of truth, cognizance, and ecstasy, which means Satchitananda, or Satchitanandamaya. And it is the paragon of the Vedas. And then the next sentence. The Gayatri is a Vedic rhythm. This means that Gayatri is a Vedic meter embracing both meditation and prayer in a compact form. So it's a particular meter. It's called Chanda. And the Gayatri Chanda. So that, and it's said in a certain way. So it contains a brief meditation and prayer. Kam Gayatri is the highest of all the Gayatris because the meditation and prayer contained in it are full of the perfect transcendental sportive activities which are not to be found in any other Gayatri. In other words, Kam Gayatri is full of Radha Gopinath and the Ras Lila. The Gayatri that is attained as the sequel of the 18-lettered mantra is Kam Gayatri, which runs thus. Klim Kamadevaya Vidmahe Pushpabanaya Dimahi Tano Nanga Prachodayat. In other words, Kam Gayatri of 24 syllables is taken after the 18-syllable mantra. First you got the Brahma got the 18-syllable Gopal mantra, and then later he got the 24-syllable Kam Gayatri. And this Gayatri, the realization of transcendental pastimes of Sri Gopijana Vallabha, after perfect meditation and the prayer for attainment of the transcendental God of love, are indicated. That's pretty clear. In the spiritual world, there is no better mode of endeavor for securing the super excellent rasa bedewed love. In other words, in the entire transcendental realm, there is no higher pursuit for divine love than in the shelter of an ecstatic relationship with Krishna. One thing I was asked, and when Tamal Krishna Maharaj gave this class several years ago, which I attended, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, it was asked, is this Brahma of Brahma Samhita the same as the Brahma of Bhagavatam? You know, Brahma Bhagavatam, he got the nutshell verses and Krishna shook hands with him. And he said no, because this Brahma, Brahma Samhita, he was in Gopi Bhav, as we see in the purport of, I guess it's 28, that he realized, I am the eternal maidservant of Krishna. So that was a little bit different than the Brahma of the Bhagavatam. That's what he said at the time. Anyway, this is a history of Brahma's enlightenment from this Gayatri book. When Garbhadakshay Vishnu desired to recreate the universe, a divine golden lotus flower grew from his navel, and Lord Brahma appeared from that lotus. Therefore, Brahma is known as Atmabhu or Swayambhu, self-born. Bewildered about his purpose, Lord Brahma entered the water below the lotus flower upon which he was sitting. Hearing the word tapa, which means austerities, vibrated twice, Brahma returned to his lotus flower seat and performed penances in the Padma Asan. He was sitting in a yoga asan called Padma Asan on a Padma. Padma means he was sitting on a lotus in a lotus posture, Padma Asan. And this is explained in verse 23 of Brahma Samhita, which we already covered. On coming out of the lotus, Brahma, being guided by the divine potency, turned his mind to the act of creation under the impulse of previous impressions. That's Purva Samskaras. But he could see nothing but darkness in every direction. Brahma received the Gopal mantra from Divya Saraswati, the eternal consort of Lord Narayan. That's verse 24, which is a review. Then the goddess of learning Saraswati said to Brahma, who saw nothing but gloom in all directions, take this mantra, Gopal mantra, it will fulfill all your heart's desire. And then, verse 25, she advised him to do austerity, so he did that, and chanted a mantra. And then Lord Brahma became a Vaishnava upon receiving a Gopal mantra. So this is an important point, because he wasn't really anything before that. I mean, he came out, he was born, or you could say he manifested or appeared from the body of Garbhodaksha Vishnu. But Nicharya explained, he became a Vaishnava when he received the Gopal mantra. His austerity was chanting and meditating upon the Gopal mantra. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur translates the word tapasya as spiritual association. By chanting Gopal mantra, which is non-different from Krishna, Brahma's, quote, austerity awarded him direct association of the Supreme Lord. Brahma was an ideal disciple. Therefore, upon receiving the mantra, he dutifully chanted it with full faith, fixed concentration, and without hesitation. In text 25 of Brahma Samhita, Divya Saraswati uses the word siddhi, which means fulfillment. So there's some discussion about, which we already discussed, how you can fulfill your material spiritual desires by this mantra. So there's a purport in Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, chapter 9, verse 6. Brahmaji was initiated into the Gopal mantra, Prabhupada says, and thus he became a Vaishnava, which is repeating what I said earlier. He was initiated into Gopal mantra, and thus he became a Vaishnava, a devotee of the Lord. Therefore, he was able to construct the huge universe. Brahma continued his penance of chanting Gopal mantra and meditating upon a vision of Krishna in Braj, standing beside Srimati Radhika and playing his flute in the company of thousands of beautiful gopis. That's that verse, that's the Yogapit meditation, which was mentioned in the purport, which we already discussed. And then this is verse 26. Desiring to attain the mercy of Govinda, Brahma started practicing cultural acts to please Krishna and Goloka. Remember we discussed that yesterday, the cultural acts. He was performing different activities of Raghunuga Bhakti, Manasi Seva within his mind, meditating and offering different services while chanting the Gopal mantra. We discussed that yesterday. So this is the meditation he had, which is in verse 26, which we already covered, and that's that whole Yogapit meditation. He meditated like this, at Krishna surrounded by the gopis, sitting on a lotus flower, like that. Here, the Brahma Samhita says, I already read all that. What were the cultural acts that he was performing? He was performing all these 64 arts of, these Manasi Sevas. So, although Brahma was thus meditating on these 64 different arts and services in his mind while chanting the Gopal mantra, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur concludes that Brahma's devotion was not pure unalloyed bhakti. How is that possible? Brahma's devotion was Gona bhakti. Gona means secondary, like we have Mukya Nam and Gona Nam. So Gona bhakti means a secondary or indirect practice of devotional service that nourishes the growth of pure devotion to the Lord. Brahma's devotion to the Lord was mixed with his personal desire to create the material world. Therefore, it cannot be accepted as pure unalloyed devotional service. Just like we're warned, the three enemies of the aspiring sadhaka are Kamani, Kanak, and Pratishtha. And of course, Pratishtha is the worst of them all. Because we see in various yoga societies, whether they're personal or impersonal or Dvaitin or Advaitin, the various seekers of truth and practitioners, they're able. Many of them are able to give up Kamani and Kanak. They're able to give up womanly association or desire for gold, and they live a very austere life. But giving up desire for Pratishtha is very difficult. To be honor, distinction, I'm a Jagat Guru 1008, Ashtatara Sapta, you know, Sri Shiman, Mahapadyalaya, this and that. I was telling once in the Leela performances in Vrindavan, there was one Leela with Madhu Mangal, and the gopis insulted Madhu Mangal, who's Krishna's Brahmin friend. And then he came and he was having discussion with Lita Vishaka. And he's saying, do you know who I am? And then for about 15 minutes, he recited his title of who he was. He says, I am Shastra Shiromani, Chaturvedi, you know, every kind of appellation and adjective you could use to describe. I'm Chaturvedi, Shastra Shiromani. Shiromani means crest jewel. I'm a crest jewel of all the pundits. Pandit Shiromani Krishna Maha Upadhyaya Mandaleshwara 1010, he said something like, he said, because it's all in Hindi or Brajavasi, he said something like 100,008, you know, instead of Astatara Shatra, he said 100. So he's saying these long, long descriptions of his name. And do you realize that? And then Lalita Sagi said, you know, you can say all this stuff, but we know you're just a nonsense Brahmin. You're only mad after Ladus. And the gopi started pulling his, you know, turban and everything. So this is the most difficult thing to give up, is desire for distinction and honor. So this is, so we may be practicing devotional service as Brahma was practicing his devotional service, but he had some personal desire. What we're doing is reading the history of Brahma's enlightenment to kind of put it all together. So Brahma's devotion to the Lord was Gona Bhakti. It was mixed with personal desire to create the material world. Satisfied with Brahma's austerity, Lord Narayan manifested his personal abode of Vaikuntha to him. From his lotus flower, Brahma could see Lord Narayan, his eternal associates, and all the variegatedness of the Vaikuntha planets. Feeling pleased with Brahma, Lord Narayan then shook hands with him to confirm that Brahma was now qualified to create living beings. This is in the Bhagavatam. That's why they sometimes say that this is a different Brahma in the Bhagavatam than in the Brahma Samhita. But this is how I told the story. At this time, Brahma received complete Vedic knowledge from Lord Narayan. Srila Prabhupada said that in the beginning stages of self-realization, in the beginning stages, Brahma was shown a transcendental vision of Vaikuntha spheres by the grace of Lord Narayan. After 1,000 celestial years of meditating upon the Gopal Mantra, in other words, in his beginning stages of chanting the Gopal Mantra, he had darshan of the person he had come from. He had darshan of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu in his abode, the Vaikuntha abode, and his associates. And then he continued meditating Gopal Mantra for 1,000 transcendental, celestial years. So after 1,000 celestial years of meditation upon Gopal Mantra, Brahma was fortunate enough to hear the sweet sound of Govinda's transcendental flute and attain perception of Krishna and his holy dham. The flute sound took the form of Gayatri Mantra. That's text 27. Right? And that's a text we're on, I believe, isn't it? Yeah, we're on 27. So that text we already read. Now, I'll go on. Lord Brahma was initiated directly by Krishna through the sound of his flute. At that time, Gayatri entered Brahma's ears and he became twice born. This verse 27, which we're discussing now, explains how Brahma heard the divine sound of Krishna's flute through his 8 ear holes. The sound of Krishna's flute is the most blissful musical vibration in existence, and hence the poetic Gayatri meter is present within it. It's a chanda, it's a meter. The joyful sound of Krishna's transcendental flute entered Brahma's heart and issued forth from his lotus mouth. Brahmaji attained the status of being twice born only after his initiation by the Lord. So this is an interesting point also. Well, I'm finished, it's already there. Although born directly from Vishnu himself, Brahma's exalted birth did not automatically make him a Brahmana. Therefore, no one can claim Brahminical status simply on the basis of family lineage. But some people say, oh, you know, I'm born in a Brahmin family, I'm in a Kasyap Gotra, I'm in a Bharadwaj Gotra. They're very, you know, proud of their Gotras. You know, that there's some great Muni, some great Rishi, Grihastha Rishi, not a Sannyasi Rishi, but some great Rishi who is a Grihastha. Vashishta, Vishwamrita, Vashishta, Kasyapa, Bharadraj, so many of them. And Kasyap, and all, you know, you see in the Bhagavad, Kasyap was a great Rishi, but he's also married. And so they have their children and their dynasties. So there's different Brahmins and Kshatriyas, whatnot. They come from these great Rishis and great Kshatriyas. And so in the case of Brahmins, they say, oh, I'm born in this family, I'm a Brahmin. But, you know, look at Lord Brahma. He's born in Vishnu's family. He's a Chuta Gotra. You could say he's the son of Vishnu, although he's considered self-born. But he directly came from the body of Vishnu. But yet he didn't automatically say, yes, by my birth, I'm a Brahmin. He had to do heavy tapasya, and he had to chant mantra. Then he had to get initiated. He had to go to a guru and get initiated, and the guru was Krishna, Krishna's flute. Through hearing Krishna's flute song, Brahma simultaneously received the Brahma Gayatri Om Bhurvavasva, right, which gave him the status of a twice-born Brahmana, Dvija, and the Kam Gayatri. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that the Brahma Gayatri is a Vedic rhythm that contains a brief meditation and prayer. Kam Gayatri, however, is the highest of all Gayatris because it denotes, it's also a Gayatri, it denotes the perfect transcendental sportive activities of Krishna and the gopis in Brajadam, a meditation which was not found in any other Gayatri mantra. Chanting the Kam Gayatri helps one attain pure love for Gopi Janavallabha and realizations of his blissful transcendental pastimes. Unlike Brahma Gayatri, which is chanted without exception by all classes of brahmanas, so there's so many different brahmanas, even Mayavadi Brahmins, so many Brahmins, they all chant Om Bhur Bhuvah Svaha. But unlike that, the Kam Gayatri is specifically chanted by members of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. And then it goes on to text 28, which I'll just read and we'll get to it because I want to just conclude this whole discussion. Enlightened by recollection of that Gayatri, which is Kam Gayatri and the Brahma Gayatri, embodying the three Vedas, Brahma became acquainted with the expansive ocean of truth. Then he worshipped Krishna, the essence of all Vedas, with this hymn. This hymn means Govindamadi Purusham prayers. This verse, number 28 of Brahma Samhita, indicates that by Gayatri meditation, Brahma became purified and elevated to the Madhya Madhikari level. In the beginning of his meditation, Brahma had to deal with his previous interest for creation, his Purva Karmas. It's kind of like the same as a new devotee. He's dealing with his Purva Samskaras and Purva Karmas, his Prabdha Karmas, and that's called Kanishta. And the Kanishta is another way of, Kanishta is like the stage of Anartha Nivritti. So Brahma was like in Anartha Nivritti, he was a Kanishta. So after he became purified and elevated by meditating on Gayatri Mantra, purified him, because Gayatri means that mantra which delivers one. In other words, it liberates one from their Prabdha Karmas. It liberates one from the material karmas of their from their previous life. So that happened to Brahma. He meditated, because that's what verse 28 says. By recollection of that Gayatri, in other words, by meditating on that Gayatri, which embodies the three Vedas, Brahma became acquainted with the ocean of truth, Tattva Sagar. And then he worshipped Krishna, the essence of all Vedas, with this hymn. So this verse indicates that by Gayatri meditation, Brahma became purified and elevated to the Madhya level. In the beginning of his meditation, Brahma had to deal with his previous interest for creation, which means his Purva Samskaras and Purva Karmas, his material desires. Therefore, Saraswati gave him the Gopal Mantra, which according to the Brahma Samhita, he dutifully chanted from, quote, a distance of Mayadevi. Remember? That was there in the book. He chanted from a distance of Mayadevi. In other words, he was in Maya. He was covered over. He wasn't beyond the thraldom of Maya. He was not liberated. Lord Brahma advanced spiritually by chanting Gopal Mantra because he was following sadhana bhakti with a desire to create in order to please Krishna. Right? So that's bhakti. He had a desire to create, but to please Krishna. As a Madhyam Bhakta, Lord Brahma attained the platform of Nishta. Right? After Anartha Nivritti comes Nishta. So Nishta is considered the beginning of Madhyam. That's why they say that one can become Guru, or one should not become Guru, at least until they come to the Nishta platform, steadiness in bhakti, which is analyzed and described in Madhurya Kadambini. And that's like Madhyam level, Madhyam Adhikari. But that's, Rupa Goswami says, Nectar of Instruction, one should be careful to take initiation from Uttam Adhikari. Otherwise, you'll get insufficient guidance on the path and like that. So, another topic. As a Madhyam Bhakta, Brahma attained the platform of Nishta. Brahma's constant chanting gave him a vague idea about his spiritual form as a maidservant, but no details were revealed. Acharyas say the details of one's spiritual identity and the revelation of Sarup occur at the juncture of Asakti and Bhav. In the purport to Brahma Samhita 28, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, enlightened by meditating on Kam Gayatri, Brahma became acquainted with the ocean of truth. Although he did not receive all the details of his eternal relationship with Krishna, by chanting Kam Gayatri, he could understand his Sarup Siddhi. his actual spiritual form, Sarup, as a maid servant. Purport, text 28. This is Adi Lila, chapter 5, verse 22. Purport. In the beginning of Brahma's self-realization, he was shown a transcendental vision of the Vaikuntha spheres by the grace of Narayan. Later, by the grace of Krishna, he was shown the transcendental vision of Krishna Loka. This transcendental vision is achieved by penance and meditation within oneself. Inspired by his sublime realizations, Brahma then began to worship the Supreme Personality of God as Sri Krishna, who is the essence of the Vedas, with his famous Govindam prayers that begin with Chintamani Prakarasadma Shukalpa Briksha. In the Brahma Samhita verses 29 through 55, Brahma describes everything that he saw while in a meditative trance known as Saurasiki. Remember? We talked about mantra upasana and we talked about Saurasiki. The spontaneous outflow of the heart's spiritual love for Krishna, which reveals variegated pastimes performed in different moods and planes. According to Jiva Goswami, Brahma Samhita verses number 30, 31, and 56 are vivid examples of Brahmaji's Swarasiki realization. Brahma's vision of the spiritual world compares, that we'll discuss maybe today more. That's it. So that's the history of Brahma's enlightenment. It's in this book. It kind of, you can just see the whole sequence. I don't know if you could follow it, but so I wanted to read that in the course of discussion of 27. Any questions? I said that the swarup, the person, the soul's particular spiritual form becomes revealed. It means that it's clearly revealed. Because just you see, at the level of nishtha, he had some idea, he had a vague idea. He was a madhyam nishtha. He didn't, that we'll just, we'll get to that. That's part of our discussion. Is that clear, that sequence that we described? Of course, some of you already read the book, so it makes it a little easier. So this is I want to discuss a little bit about Kam Gayatri. Because that's what this verse 27 is about. He's received now the Kam Gayatri. And it's understood, although it's not really mentioned directly, but this verse 27, when it says Gayatri, mother of the Vedas, that means that he received Brahma Gayatri also. We call it Brahma Gayatri. What is the Brahma Gayatri? Everyone knows? Anyone doesn't know? Om Bhur Bhuva Swa Tat Savitur Varanyam. You know that one? That's called Brahma Gayatri. Because that's the first Gayatri that he heard. Right? And then the next thing he heard was the sound of Krishna's flute. It came out as the Kam Gayatri. So this Gayatri mantra here, this Kam Gayatri, it's a sequel. Because first he got the 18-syllable Gopal mantra, now he's getting 24-syllable Kam Gayatri. And it describes the Sambandha Abhideyam Priyojana. Krishna Govindaya Gopi Janavallava. I think we discussed a little bit about that. But the Kam Gayatri, like the Gopal mantra, but the Kam Gayatri goes more deeply into the relationship with Gopinath. So the rough translation, which is given on the sheet in ISKCON, when they give you the mantra, they give you a sheet which printed out the meaning of the mantra, and it's one sentence. And it says, let us meditate on the master of the senses who carries arrows of flowers, Pushpabanaya. Let us meditate on him being enthused by the transcendental cupid, Kamadevaya, Ananga Kamadevaya. This is the topmost Gayatri mantra, and Jiva Goswami describes in Sandarvas, this is the king of all mantras, this is the Mantra Raj. So some people, they say, oh, I don't need this mantra, I have Hare Krishna mantra. But actually, Hare Krishna mantra, of course, is enough, but all of our acharyas, from Lord Chaitanya to Lord Krishna, if you can look at them as acharyas or God themselves, and Narada Muni, Now, all the great acharyas have taken initiation to these Pancharatrika mantras, especially Brahma Gayatri Pancharatrika mantras, like Kam Gayatri and Gopal mantra. They're very actually essential and helpful. So we might say, like Lord Chaitanya, he was the Yuga avatar, and he was also propagating Nam Sankirtan. But he didn't say, by his own example, he didn't say, you don't need anything else. He went to Gaya and he received Gopal mantra. It was a Pancharatrika mantra, Gopal mantra. And then he came back with that mantra and he was intoxicated with love of God. So Brihad Bhagavatamrita Sanatana Goswami writes a whole book about Pancharatrika mantra, Gopal mantra. So these mantras are very important, and Prabhupada's standard was generally, he gave initiation into Gayatri within 6 months or 1 year of first initiation. So we kind of make a small pitch for that in our book, our Gayatri book, appealing to our Guru God brothers to be merciful. The small little pitch there. In my book I say, please be in the mood of Srila Prabhupada, please be merciful to your disciples and give them, if they're duly qualified, give them these mantras because they're very powerful and beneficial for advancing on the path of bhakti. And they are part, Dikshadi. When you see Nectar Devotion, it has 64 limbs of devotion. The first one is Guru Pada Shraya. Then it says Guru Shiksha. It says you take shelter, then you Dikshadi, then you take Diksha, then you take Shiksha. There's like the first five steps of bhakti are all about Guru. And one of the first five says Diksha. You receive Diksha mantras from your Guru and you're trained how to do bhajan. So this is part of the kingdom of bhakti. So we shouldn't, sometimes devotees become complacent. I'm not a Brahmin. I'm afraid to approach my Guru. I don't want to do puja. It's not a question of being a pujari. The Brahmin means being a pujari. But these mantras are so essential and valuable for developing our bhakti and our braj bhakti. So if you don't have these mantras, you might be a little anxious. That's part of why we produce this book, is to create kind of an anxious desire to receive these mantras from a qualified personality, your guru, because they're certainly very helpful and very powerful. We're having so much discussion about the benefits and power of the mantra, and that's why Jiva Goswami says the king of all mantras, Mantra Raj. It appears that Brahma went through two initiations, one from Saraswati and one from Krishna. So he got reinitiated. Brahma took reinitiation. He was initiated by Saraswati, but then he took mantra again from Krishna. Is it right? No. I guess you can take the Siddhanta and look at it the way you want to, I suppose. Because the mantra is the mother of the Vedas, he realized all their knowledge through it. Gayatri Mata. That's right, it says there in the verse. It says, Tri Murti Mai. Gayatri, the mother of the Vedas. So, that Brahma Gayatri is the mother of the Vedas. So, some of the points I want to discuss today. What is the difference between a Gayatri mantra and a regular mantra? And how did the Gayatri mantra enter Brahma's mouth? Some of these points. Most of these points, I've kind of written about them. Because I did do a whole book on Gayatri. So I hope you don't mind. I'll save you buying the book, because I'm just reading the key points that apply to this Brahma Samhita. To save myself repeating it, because it's quite succinctly said and briefly said in the book. So I hope you bear with me just reading these points, because all what I'm reading is directly to amplify the meaning that's conveyed in the particular verse of Brahma Samhita in the purport. So we'll read this, and then if there's any discussion, that's my duty in one sense, is to present the textbooks and present the knowledge, and then any realizations we have and any questions you have, we try to elucidate and clarify it. That's the role of the teacher. So I want to read, if you don't mind, I'll read a little bit. about this mantra. Because there's a whole chapter in here about Kam Gayatri, all the different mantras. So this is something. So when we did a survey the other day, and we asked the devotees how many received these mantras, about half the devotees raised their hand. Is it right? I've met devotees, disciples that have been 9 years initiated, 8 years, 9 years, and they're good devotees, and they don't have Brahma, they don't have Gayatri. They have, after years and years and years. So maybe one side benefit or side effect, you could say, side effect of this class will be that those particular devotees who have been waiting around 9 or 10 years and are initiated, they might prevail upon their beloved preceptors to give them these mantras. And you can explain some of the things you realize. The Kam Gayatri refers to the Lord of Prem and leads to full realization of the transcendental pastimes of Gopi Janavallabha. It is the best of all Gayatris because it reveals the most intimate, joyful pastimes of Krishna, which are not revealed in any other Gayatri. It is meditation upon the Supreme Lord in His ultimate aspect as Krishna, with a specific name, form, qualities, and pastimes. Kam Gayatri represents the fifth note of Krishna's flute. It impels a devotee toward Krishna and Goloka with the experience of Madhurya Ras. Krishna attracts all living entities with the eight notes of his flute. The fifth note, however, expresses Krishna's love, especially for the gopis. So that's just kind of some little bit about glorification of the mantra. Okay, the meaning of Kam Gayatri. Kamadevaya, right, the mantra is Klim Kamadevaya, refers to Madan Mohan, the deity of Krishna signifying initiation, mantra diksha, which is a function of Sambandha. Pushpamanaya refers to Govindaji, the presiding deity of Abhideya, who helps one awaken love of God. Ananga refers to the deity of Gopinath, who represents Prayojan, the goal of Krishna Prem, especially exemplified by the love of the gopis. The Kam Gayatri is divided into three parts representing Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. Kamadeva is the deity Madan Mohan who captivates our mind and hearts to establish our relationship with Krishna, which means Sambandha Tattva. Pushpabanaya, these are words of the mantra, Kamadevaya Pushpabanaya. He is Govindaji who carries the arrows of flowers and develops our relationship with Krishna as an eternal maidservant of the gopis, Abhideya Tattva. And Ananga is he, Gopinath, who delivers the ultimate goal of life, of satisfying the gopis, Radhika and Shyam, Prayojana Tattva. And then Prabhupada, this is a quote from the Madhya Lila, chapter 8, verse 138. The Kam Gayatri mantra is like a Vedic hymn, but it is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no difference between Kam Gayatri and Krishna. Both are composed of 24 and a half transcendental syllables. Krishna is composed of these syllables, and so is the mantra. The mantra depicted in letters is also Krishna, and the mantra rises just like the moon. Due to this, there is a perverted reflection of desire in human society and among all kinds of living entities. In the mantra, Klim Kamadevaya Vidmahe Pushpabanaya Dimahi Tanno Nanga Prachodayat, Krishna is called Kamadev, Pushpaban, and Ananga. And Prabhupada goes on. Kamadev is Madan Mohan, a deity who establishes our relationship with Krishna. Pushpabana means he who carries an arrow made of flowers, is Govinda, the personality of Godhead who accepts our devotional service. And Ananga is Gopi Janavallabha, who satisfies all the gopis and is the ultimate goal of life. Prabhupada goes on. This Kam Gayatri, and he repeats it again. The Kam Gayatri simply does not belong to this material world. After advancing in spiritual understanding, a devotee worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead with his spiritual senses and fulfills the desire of the Lord. Man manabhavamad bhakto madhyajima namaskuru Mame vaishasi satyam te prati jane priyosime. Prabhupada quotes that verse from 1865. O snake of me, become my devotee. Then that's the end of Prabhupada's purport. So I just want to read that. Oh, Vishnu Chakravartipad, he defines the Kam Gayatri. He says in his book, Mancharcha Deepika, Kam Gayatri is a Maha Mantra. So there's another Maha Mantra. He says, we had thought the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, this is the Kam Gayatri. According to Vishwanath, there's also a Maha Mantra. Kam Gayatri is a Maha Mantra, which flows according to desire. The sadhakas who chant this mantra take their next birth in Braj Mandal. In other words, they attain a spiritual body like one of Krishna's eternal Brijbasi associates for the purpose of rendering pure devotional service. The worshipable object of this mantra is Rasaraj Sri Krishna, the king of Shringar Ras, which means the most blissful form of ecstatic conjugal love. He is Madan, the transcendental Cupid. He is Krishna, the all-attractive one. He is Nandatmaja, the darling son of Nanda Baba. And he resides in one and only one place, the blissful realm of Brajadam. So I would think that that's from Vishnu Chakravartipad Mantra Artha Deepika, which is translated by Dasara Sutta, Nectar Books, in English. So I would think if someone would hear quotes like this, they would say, wow, I have to get that mantra. Oh, Gurudev, oh, Guruji, oh, please. Whatever it takes, you know. And, you know, by seva and surrender, obviously, that's how you please the guru. By pure seva mood and surrender. Is that someone might be thinking, well, I'll wait if my guru recognizes me, that he sees that I'm really a Pukka Brahman, that I'm exhibiting all the guna and karma of a Pukka Brahman, then he'll say, oh, you should take Brahman initiation. But frankly, no, so that might be, you might wait 3 or 4 lifetimes before he recognizes you. So you might, because they say that the noisy, what is it? There's a phrase like that. The noisy wheel gets the grease or something? Squeaky wheel? What is it? Gets the oil. It sounds like an American expression. In other words, if something's making noise, then you get oil. So Prabhupada sometimes, I think I remember hearing Prabhupada say analogy that the bird, you know, when the mother comes back to the nest and there's all the little birdies there, the one who's making the most noise and opening his mouth the most and stretching his neck up, well, stretching the neck up is called utkanta. Utkanta. Kanta means neck, right? Kanti, you know, the Tulsi Kanti. And ut means to extend or out. So that's a type of bhav which exists within the realm of sadhana, and also it exists as part of within the realm of Braj Bhakti, among the coward boys and among the ladies of Vrindavan and the gopis, utkantika bhav, where there's excessive eagerness. There's excessive eagerness and, you know, anticipation. When Mother Yashoda or the coward boys, when they're in their homes in the morning, they're getting dressed, and they're impatient to go see Krishna, and they're just saying, hurry up with this stuff, I gotta go to Nandagaon. And I say, wait a minute, you can't go out with just one bangle, one armlet, you look stupid, you know. And you have to look neat and clean, you know, you're my son, and you're a gopa, and you're going to see Krishna. No, forget about it. You know, and they paint, their mothers will paint one eye with dots, and then the boy says, let me go. So their neck is like, you know, they're stretching their neck, and they're looking out the window. Oh no, look, I see there. And Balaram just left, you know, he's going down to the Goshala, and then Krishna will be coming, hey, come on. You know, so, like that, that's utkantika. So, the bird who's extending his neck the most, the mother comes back and she says, well, who'd I, oh, you. And so she gives the, you know, the prasad to the, you know, the bird that has his mouth out, the neck extended the most. So the disciple who's a little bit eager, you know, a little utsaha, little enthusiasm and eagerness, then he will get. But if he's not eager, he says, everything's okay, you know, when I'm 99, you know, I'll get Gayatri before I die, you know, it's okay. So we shouldn't become complacent and lackadaisical in the name of quote tolerance, in the name of quote patience. We should be a little bit eager for these things. So different types of mantras. So in this verse, we heard about the Gopal mantra. When we discussed the Gopal mantra, we didn't hear the word Gayatri. Now all of a sudden we're hearing the Gayatri, right? In this verse it says, enlightened by the recollection of that Gayatri, embodying the three Vedas. So there's a little discussion, there's different kinds of mantras. A couple days ago I mentioned different kinds of mantras, and what is a Gayatri? So, anyway, there's a whole discussion here about all different kinds of mantras. So, for example, there's six basic types of mantras. Dhyan mantra, Bija mantra, Mula mantra, Stutis and Stotras, Pranam mantras, and Gayatri mantras. So a Gayatri is a Vedic or Pancharatrika mantra used to worship the Lord, invoking three principles of Sambandha, Avideya, and Prayojana. The word Gayatri, like we say, this is Kam Gayatri, this is Brahma Gayatri. So they're different mantras, but when they're called Gayatri, just like there's different kinds of ragas. There's Kali Bhairav, and there's all different kinds of Malara Rag. There's so many different ragas. They say there's one raga for every species of life. But there's only, that means originally there was 8,400,000 different ragas. People that teach music, they tell like that. But now there's only something like 8,400, so many available. So the same thing, this Gayatri indicates a specific poetic meter, chandas, sung in Vedic hymns. So, actually a little bit, I want to read a little bit interesting discussion here about mantras, just in general, what a mantra is. Because this is some, I got this from, Narada Pancharatra. The original spiritual letters are endowed with specific powers, and in particular combinations, these spiritual letters assume more power in relation to certain deities. These combinations of letters are called bijas, or seeds. Right? Klim, Kamadeva. And they combine to form words. When these words are connected in a particular order, they have a special power to represent a deity in full. These combinations are called mantras. The power then manifested in the whole mantra is greater than any part of the constituent sounds. The mantras, which are non-different from the deity, are an eternal manifestation of the deity and are spiritual by nature. By repetition of the mantra, the worshipper invokes the mercy of the deity whose mantra he repeats. So like we said, the deity of the Kam Gayatri is Rasaraj Krishna, Gopinath. So he's contained there. Because that mantra, Kam Gayatri, which is discussed here in verse 27, discusses Gopinath, Pushpamanaya, Gopijana Vallavaya, Kamadevaya. So that's the deity or the personality. So it invokes the mercy of Gopijana Vallabha. Chanting these mantras helps one realize the transcendental form of the deities. The sadhaka thus overcomes illusion and regains his original spiritual position. The mantra is an intrinsic form of the Lord. By the mercy of the Guru and Vaishnavas, who are embodiments of Krishna's mercy, Krishna enters the disciple's heart in the form of mantra. The mantra then acts to cleanse the mind and heart of the disciple and make him fit for serving the transcendental Lord. There's just something about mantra. So this is what distinguishes a Gayatri mantra from another mantra is three particular words. And if a mantra is to be called a Gayatri, it must have these three words. And that these are the three words. Vidmahe, Dhimahi, and Prachodayat. But in the Brahma Gayatri, that Vidmahe, and I'll describe what those mean, Vidmahe is replaced by Varenyam, right? Okay, I'll just read again. So, for a mantra to be categorized as Gayatri, it must have three words, Vidmahe, Dhimahi, and Prachodayat. These three words, they represent the three concepts of Sambandha, Tattva, Abhideya, and Prayojana. So the Sanskrit word vidmahe, like we say, klim kamadevaya vidmahe, We say Om Bhurbhuvasvatak Savitur Varenyam. Varenyam, the word Varenyam in Brahma Gayatri means Vidmehe. But every other Gayatri mantra will have the word Vidmehe. Vidmehe. Vidmehe means to know, like knowledge, Vid, Veda. To know, to attain, to understand, to surrender to or realize. And it refers to the first stage wherein one understands or acknowledges his original relationship with the Supreme Lord, Sambandha. In Guru Gayatri, for example, Vidmehe means to know or realize one's relationship as the eternal servant of his spiritual master. In the Brahma Gayatri, the word Varenyam takes the place of Vidmehe. So the Gopal mantra is not a Gayatri, right? Krim Krishnaya Govindaya. But the Acharyas explain that three words there take the place of these three words. Krishnaya, Govindaya, Gopijana Vallabha. That these three words represent Sambandha, Avideya, Prayojana. So, I think that's all we have to read there. Any questions at this point? Well, basically there's two levels of meditation on these particular Pancharatrika mantras. One is the actual conception that may be given by Guru. He says meditate like this in a particular way. And then there's seva that one can meditate along with meditating the conception of the mantra or the meaning of the mantra, which is kind of holds to mind a particular position of seva, because that's basically what the conception will be, seva. Then he can meditate on particular services, and the indication, these 64 arts give an indication of different services one can meditate on. So it's not, and it may vary from time to time. The mantra itself, as one just chants the mantra and meditates on the conception, the mantra itself will reveal itself, what meaning. And that we'll get to also, because we have a section here about the different meanings of the mantra. And one Prabhupada Sannyas Guru, Bhakti Pragyan Kesha Maharaj, he was asked, what is the meaning of Kam Gayatri? What should I think about? He said, you should think that Kam Gayatri is Radha and Krishna. Radha and Krishna are personally present in Kam Gayatri, and they're in Vrindavan having pastimes. And then the disciples said, received. He said, well, what else? What else should we think about? That's all. The mantra will reveal everything else. The Kam Gayatri itself will reveal everything else. And so that particular spiritual master, he told this, you chant the mantra and let it reveal. What it will reveal is the spiritual world. It will reveal your sarup. It will reveal all these, your different name and all different aspects of your spiritual identity can be revealed in this Kam Gayatri. So Brahma's particular example, as another sadhaka, he chanted a mantra with meditating on conception. At the same time, he was also doing these performing these cultural acts. So if your guru, he may give you specific cultural acts to meditate along with the mantra, or he may say, just meditate on this meaning, which is what I mentioned here, that this is the meaning you'll get. When you take initiation, generally you get this meaning. You'll get a piece of paper. Here's the Kam Gayatri, and the guru will chant in your ear, and he'll say, this is the meaning. Let us meditate on the master of the senses who carries arrows of flowers. Let us meditate on him being thus enthused by the transcendental Cupid. So you take that mantra and you meditate on that conception of meaning, and the mantra itself will reveal so many different aspects, and it will reveal Vrindavan and so many aspects of Kamadeva and Pushpavanaya and Krishna with Leela, because when Krishna is there in all these different forms as a transcendental Kamadeva and Ananga, he's surrounded by his eternal servants, eternal associates, cowherd boys, gopis, etc. And he's having so many pastimes, so the mantra itself will reveal all of that. So you may be given the general meditation, or you may be given a specific meditation of particular services also. This is Guru is the guide, and the mantra is the magic which reveals all of these things. I think that's it for today.